Secure transactions, definition and nature of security interest. To thoroughly understand the concept of a security interest as it applies in the realm of secured transactions under Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, we need to delve into its definition, purpose, legal implications, and the processes involved in its establishment and enforcement. This expansive discussion will cover the nature and mechanics of security interests, their role in the financial system, and their impact on various parties involved in secured transactions. Definition and nature of security interest. The concept of a security interest is fundamental to the field of commercial law, especially within the framework of secured transactions as outlined by Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, in the United States. Understanding the definition and nature of a security interest, as well as its application and implications, is crucial for participants in the credit and finance sectors. This detailed exploration will delve into the various aspects of security interests, their legal basis, functional dynamics, and their impact on both creditors and debtors. 1. Introduction to security interests. A security interest represents a legal right granted to creditors, secured parties, to obtain ownership or control over a debtor's personal property, referred to as collateral. This right is established as a form of security for a loan or other obligation that the debtor agrees to repay or fulfill. The principal idea behind a security interest is to mitigate risk for the lender and provide a mechanism for recovery should the debtor fail to meet their obligations, a situation commonly known as a default. 2. Legal framework and historical context. The governance of security interests primarily falls under Article 9 of the UCC, which standardizes transactional laws across states to facilitate commerce and finance. The UCC defines how security interests are created, perfected, and enforced. Historically, the concept of using property as security dates back to ancient civilizations, but was formalized in the U.S. with the introduction of the UCC in the 1950s, providing a unified legal framework to address the growing complexity of commercial transactions. 3. Creation of a security interest, the attachment process. The establishment of a security interest occurs through a process known as attachment. This legal procedure anchors the secured party's interest in the collateral, making it enforceable against the debtor. Attachment requires three fundamental conditions. Value exchange. The secured party must provide something of value to the debtor, which typically takes the form of a loan, credit extension, or similar financial arrangement. Debtor's rights in the collateral. The debtor must have legal rights in the collateral that is being offered as security. This means the debtor must own the property or have the authority to pledge it as collateral. Security agreement. A formal agreement must be executed between the debtor and the secured party, detailing the collateral and the obligation it secures. This agreement must either be in writing and signed by the debtor, or the secured party must take possession of the collateral if it is tangible. 4. Nature of collateral. Collateral can encompass a wide range of personal property. It is classified into various categories under the UCC, including but not limited to tangible goods, such as machinery, vehicles, inventory, intangible assets, such as accounts receivable, intellectual property, and investment securities. Each type of collateral is subject to specific rules regarding how a security interest can be attached and perfected. The perfection of security interests. Once a security interest is attached, it must be perfected to make it effective against third parties, such as other creditors or in a bankruptcy proceeding. Perfection occurs primarily through filing a financing statement, UCC-1. This document is filed with a designated public office, typically the Secretary of State, and serves to notify other potential creditors and interested parties of the secured party's interest in the collateral. Possession of the collateral. For certain types of collateral, particularly tangible goods, possession by the secured party can achieve perfection. Control. In the case of deposit accounts or certain investment securities, control by the secured party, as defined by the UCC, can perfect the interest. VI. Enforcement of security interests. In the event of a default by the debtor, the secured party is entitled to enforce their security interest. Enforcement typically involves repossession. The secured party may take possession of the collateral. This can be done either directly, if no breach of peace is involved, or through judicial proceedings. Sale of the collateral. The secured party may opt to sell the collateral, either through public auction or private sale, to recover the owed debt. UCC mandates that such sales be conducted in a commercially reasonable manner. Strict foreclosure. Under certain conditions, the secured party may choose to retain the collateral in full satisfaction of the obligation, provided that specific procedural steps are followed to ensure fairness to the debtor and other creditors. 7. Impact on creditors and debtors. Security interests have profound effects on both creditors and debtors. For creditors, they provide a reduced risk profile and greater assurance of debt recovery. For debtors, while offering access to credit, they also impose an obligation to manage their assets responsibly, as failure to comply with the terms of the secured agreement can result in significant financial loss. Purpose of security interests. The institution of security interests underlies much of modern financial and credit systems, particularly as governed by Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, in the United States. Understanding the purpose and impact of security interests provides insight into their essential role in facilitating economic activity by enhancing credit availability and reducing financial risk. This detailed examination explores the reasons security interests are foundational to commercial law, the benefits they offer to various stakeholders, and their broader economic implications. 1. The economic rationale for security interests. A. Risk mitigation. At its core, the purpose of a security interest is to mitigate the risks that lenders face when extending credit. When creditors lend money without any guarantee of recovery, they face significant risk, particularly the risk of the debtor's default. By securing an interest in the debtor's assets, lenders obtain a legal right to seize and liquidate these assets if the debtor fails to repay the loan according to agreed terms. This reduces the likelihood of loss for the lender and is a critical factor in the credit decision-making process. B. Enhancement of credit terms. Security interests directly influence the terms on which credit is offered. The presence of a security interest typically allows lenders to offer larger loan amounts and at lower interest rates than would be possible with unsecured lending. This is because the secured nature of the loan lowers the lender's expected loss in the event of default, allowing them to accept smaller profit margins, lower interest rates, and still maintain profitability. 2. Legal and conceptual framework. A. Definition and creation. A security interest is defined by the UCC as an interest in personal property or fixtures which secures payment or performance of an obligation. The creation of a security interest requires an agreement between the debtor and the creditor, where the debtor grants the creditor a claim over specified assets as collateral. This process involves attachment and requires the creditor to give value, the debtor to have rights in the collateral, and an enforceable security agreement to be in place. B. Perfection of interest. To ensure the enforceability of a security interest against third parties, such as other creditors or in a bankruptcy proceeding, the interest must be perfected. Perfection can be achieved through various means, including filing a financing statement with appropriate government authorities, taking possession of the collateral, or obtaining control over it in the case of deposit accounts or electronic collateral. 3. benefits to stakeholders. 8. Benefits to lenders. Increased security. The primary benefit to lenders is the reduced risk of loss. Security interests provide a direct way to recover owed amounts by seizing and liquidating the collateral. Portfolio diversification. With reduced risk on individual loans, lenders can afford to diversify their loan portfolios, including offering loans to higher risk borrowers, which can lead to higher overall returns. Regulatory compliance and capital requirements. Secured loans often require less capital under bank regulations and can improve a lender's balance sheet, making lending more attractive and sustainable. B. Benefits to borrowers. Access to larger loans. Individuals and businesses often need large loans that would not be feasible without the use of security interests. For instance, purchasing equipment or real estate often involves amounts that exceed what would be prudent to lend without security. Lower costs. By providing collateral, borrowers can access lower interest rates, which significantly reduce the cost of borrowing over time. Flexibility in terms. Collateral can provide borrowers with more negotiation leverage to secure favorable repayment terms or conveniences that might not otherwise be available. See economic impact. Promotion of entrepreneurship and investment. Security interests facilitate access to capital for startups and small businesses, which are crucial for innovation and job creation. Stability of financial systems. By reducing loan defaults and providing mechanisms for risk management, security interests contribute to the stability of financial systems. Enhanced liquidity. Collateralized loans are often more marketable to investors, enhancing liquidity in financial markets. 4. Challenges and considerations. Despite their benefits, security interests also pose challenges and require careful consideration. Issues such as determining the appropriate value of collateral, managing the costs of perfecting and enforcing security interests, and addressing the debtor's rights and potential abuses and repossession practices must be navigated carefully. Legal framework. 1. Historical background and purpose of Article 9. A. Development of the UCC. The UCC, developed as a joint project between the American Law Institute and the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, was first published in 1952. The goal was to harmonize the laws of sales and other commercial transactions across the United States to facilitate easier and more reliable interstate commerce. Article 9, specifically, was formulated to address the varied and often conflicting state laws concerning secured transactions and personal property. B. Objectives of Article 9. The primary purpose of Article 9 is to provide a uniform and comprehensive statute governing the rights and obligations of parties involved in secured transactions. This includes the standardization of terms and concepts, making it easier for entities to conduct business across state lines without needing to navigate differing state laws. Provision of a clear and predictable legal framework for the creation, perfection, priority, and enforcement of security interests, thus reducing uncertainties and risks in credit transactions. Facilitation of credit by ensuring creditors that their interests in the collateral will be protected, thus encouraging lending and economic growth. 2. Scope and applicability of Article 9. A. Covered transactions. Article 9 applies to any transaction that involves the use of personal property as collateral to secure an obligation. This includes traditional security interests, consignments, leases intended as security, agricultural liens, and sales of accounts, chattel paper, payment intangibles, and promissory notes. B. Excluded transactions. Certain transactions are excluded from the scope of Article 9, such as aircraft transactions, which are governed by federal statutes and international treaties, salary or wage assignments in some instances, transfer of interest in real property, including mortgages, certain statutory liens, such as mechanics liens. 3. Creation of security interests, attachment. A. Requirements for attachment. The attachment of a security interest marks the enforceability of the interest between the creditor and the debtor. For a security interest to attach, 3 conditions must be met. Value must be given by the secured party. The debtor must have rights in the collateral or the power to transfer rights in the collateral to the secured party. A security agreement must be authenticated by the debtor, which sufficiently describes the collateral. B. Security agreement. A security agreement is a contract between the debtor and the secured party that outlines the terms regarding the collateral. It must be in writing, except when the collateral is in the possession of the secured party. Describe the collateral covered by the agreement. Be authenticated by the debtor, typically through a signature. 4. Perfection of security interests. A. Methods of perfection. Perfection is the process that makes a security interest enforceable against third parties. The primary methods of perfection include filing a financing statement, UCC-1 form. This is the most common method, particularly for non-possessory security interests. Taking possession of the collateral, applicable to tangible property and negotiable documents. Control, used for deposit accounts, electronic chattel paper, and investment securities. B. Effects of perfection. Perfection establishes the legal priority of the secured party's interest in the collateral relative to other creditors. It ensures that in the event of the debtor's default or bankruptcy, the perfected security interest will generally have priority over claims from other creditors who have unperfected security interests or who are unsecured creditors. V. Priority of security interests. 8. General priority rules. The basic rule of priority is that the first to file or perfect has priority over others. Specific priority rules can vary based on the type of collateral and the nature of competing claims, including conflicts between perfected and unperfected interests. Perfected interests generally prevail. Priority among multiple perfected interests. Typically, the first to file or perfect has priority. Special priority rules, such as those applying to purchasers of goods, lien creditors, and certain statutory liens. VI. Enforcement of security interests. Upon default, the secured party has several remedies, including repossession of the collateral, either through judicial foreclosure or, more commonly, self-help repossession without judicial proceedings. Sale or disposal of the collateral must be done in a commercially reasonable manner. Strict foreclosure. The secured party can keep the collateral in satisfaction of the debt if the debtor consents and no other creditor objects. 7. Impact and evolution. Article 9 has significantly influenced both commercial law and the economic landscape. By providing a reliable and consistent framework, it has facilitated the flow of credit and reduced transactional risks. It has also adapted to technological changes and economic developments, with revisions reflecting shifts in commerce, such as the rise of electronic transactions. Perfection of security interests. The creation of a security interest, legally known as attachment, marks the formal establishment of a secured party's interest in a debtor's collateral. This foundational step is critical in the framework of secured transactions as governed by Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, in the United States. Attachment ensures that a security interest becomes enforceable against the debtor, setting the stage for subsequent steps like perfection and enforcement that protect the secured party's rights even further. This comprehensive analysis will delve into each aspect of the attachment process, explaining its legal necessities, practical implications, and its role in the broader context of secured transactions. 1. Overview of attachment. Attachment of a security interest is the process by which a security interest becomes legally effective against the debtor. This moment is pivotal because, without attachment, a security interest cannot be enforced, even against the debtor. The process involves satisfying several legally defined criteria that ensure both parties are aware of and agree on the nature and scope of the interest being created. 2. The elements of attachment. The UCC outlines specific requirements that must be met for a security interest to attach to the collateral. These requirements are designed to ensure clarity and fairness in the transaction and to provide a clear legal foundation for future actions related to the security interest. A. Value. The first requirement for attachment is that value must be given by the secured party to the debtor. This concept of value is broad and encompasses various forms of financial consideration. Financial loans. The most common form of value is a loan of money from the secured party to the debtor. Credit extensions. Providing a line of credit or similar financial accommodation also constitutes value. Other considerations. Value can also include other economic considerations, such as forbearance in a debt collection or an existing obligation. This requirement ensures that the secured transaction is based on a reciprocal exchange, legitimizing the secured party's claim to the collateral. B. Rights in the collateral. For a security interest to attach, the debtor must have rights in the collateral or the power to transfer rights in the collateral to the secured party. This requirement is fundamental because it ensures that the debtor has the legal capacity to provide the collateral as security. Ownership. The debtor typically owns the collateral outright. Leased or licensed property. If the collateral is leased or licensed, the debtor must have the authority under their agreement to use it as security for a transaction. Future acquired property. Security interests can also attach to property that the debtor will own in the future, provided the security agreement explicitly covers such property. This element is crucial because it prevents parties from encumbering property that they do not lawfully control, thereby protecting the rights of actual owners and other third parties. C. Security agreement. The security agreement is the contractual foundation of the security interest. It must be authenticated. Typically, this means it must be signed by the debtor, although electronic agreements and other forms of authentication are increasingly recognized under modern UCC provisions. Adequate description of the collateral. The agreement must clearly describe the collateral to prevent ambiguity about what is covered by the security interest. This description can be specific, identifying individual items, or categorical, covering types of assets. Containment of obligations. The agreement must specify the obligation that the collateral secures, whether it is repayment of a loan, performance of a service, or another obligation. In some cases, particularly with tangible collateral, the secured party's possession of the collateral can substitute for a written agreement, provided the possession is intended to secure an obligation. 3. Practical implications of attachment. Once a security interest has attached, it creates several legal implications. Enforceability. The security interest becomes enforceable against the debtor, meaning the secured party can seek to recover the collateral if the debtor fails to fulfill the underlying obligation. Basis for perfection. Attachment is a prerequisite for perfection, the process that makes the security interest effective against third parties. Legal framework for remedies. Should the debtor default, the attached security interest provides the legal framework within which the secured party can pursue remedies, such as repossession or sale of the collateral. Priority of security interests. In the realm of secured transactions, The concept of priority is a fundamental principle that dictates the order in which creditors are paid in the event of a debtor's default or insolvency. Priority ensures a systematic and equitable distribution of a debtor's assets among multiple creditors, each potentially holding a security interest in the same collateral. Understanding how priority works, its underlying rules, and its exceptions is crucial for all parties involved in secured transactions. This discussion will provide a comprehensive exploration of the priority of security interests, focusing on its general principles, governing rules, and notable exceptions as outlined in Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC. 1. Overview of priority in secured transactions. Priority is the framework used to determine the order in which various creditors are entitled to satisfaction from the proceeds of the debtor's collateral. It is a critical aspect of secured transactions because it affects the degree of risk assumed by a creditor when extending credit. The priority status of a security interest can influence the terms of credit, the interest rates offered, and the decision by creditors on whether to lend. 2. Basic rules of priority. The general rule in secured transactions is that the priority of security interests is determined first by whether the interest is perfected. From there, priority among competing security interests is typically resolved by the order of perfection or attachment. A. Perfected versus unperfected security interests. Perfected security interests. A perfected security interest is one where the secured party has taken all the necessary steps required by law to give public notice of their interest, usually through filing a financing statement or taking possession of the collateral. Perfected interests have priority over unperfected interests. Unperfected security interests. An unperfected interest is one that has attached but has not been perfected through filing or possession. Unperfected interests are vulnerable and generally subordinate to perfected interests and certain statutory liens. B. Order of perfection or attachment. Among perfected security interests, the rule of first to file or perfect generally applies. This means that if more than one security interest is perfected, the interest that was perfected first will have priority. If no security interest is perfected, the interest that attached first will generally have priority. 3. Specific rules and exceptions. The UCC outlines specific rules and exceptions that can alter the general priority rule. These exceptions are designed to address practical concerns and to protect certain parties who might otherwise be unfairly disadvantaged. A. Purchase money security interests, PMSIs. A PMSI is a special type of security interest that enables creditors who provide financing for the acquisition of goods to obtain a priority interest in the goods purchased. PMSIs in consumer goods are automatically perfected when the goods are acquired and have super priority over other security interests in the same goods, even if those interests were perfected earlier. B. Statutory liens. Certain liens created by statute for services or materials provided to the collateral, such as mechanics or artisans liens, can take priority over earlier perfected security interests. These liens are given priority as a matter of public policy to protect laborers and material suppliers. C. Conflicts involving fixtures. Fixtures are personal property that becomes so closely associated with real property that it is legally treated as part of the real property. A fixture filing must be made to perfect a security interest in fixtures. If a security interest in a fixture is perfected by a fixture filing, it generally has priority over a conflicting interest in the real property. D. Buyers of collateral. Buyers of collateral can sometimes take free of a security interest, particularly in consumer transactions. If a buyer purchases goods without knowledge of an existing security interest, pays for them in full, and the goods are for personal use, the buyer may take the goods free of the security interest, thereby disrupting the priority scheme. 4. Priority in bankruptcy. Bankruptcy introduces additional complexity into priority determinations. Secured creditors generally have priority over unsecured creditors in bankruptcy proceedings, but specific bankruptcy rules may alter typical priority rights. For instance, so-called adequate protection payments may be required to protect the value of secured creditors' interests. The international considerations. In international transactions, priority conflicts are governed by additional layers of laws, including treaty obligations and foreign statutes. Creditors engaging in cross-border transactions must be aware of these complexities and how they may impact the enforceability and priority of security interests. Enforcement. Remedies upon default. When a debtor defaults on a secured loan, the secured party has specific remedies available to enforce their security interest under the provisions of Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC. These remedies are crucial for creditors as they allow the recovery of the owed debt or the value thereof through various means. The options available include repossession of the collateral, sale of the collateral, and strict foreclosure. Each remedy has its own legal requirements and procedural steps that must be carefully followed to ensure compliance with the law and to protect the rights of all parties involved. I. Repossession of collateral. Repossession is the act of taking back possession of the collateral that was secured to a loan or credit transaction. This is typically the first remedy considered when a debtor defaults. A. Methods of repossession. Self-help repossession. The most common method, self-help repossession, allows the secured party to retake possession of the collateral without initiating court proceedings, provided it can be done without breaching the peace. Breaching the peace generally includes any use of force or breaking into a locked premises. The specific definitions can vary by jurisdiction, but the key principle is to avoid any actions that could lead to violence or legal violations. Judicial repossession. If self-help repossession is not possible without breaching the peace, the secured party may seek a court order to seize the collateral. This process involves filing a lawsuit and obtaining a writ of replevin, which authorizes the sheriff or another law enforcement officer to seize the collateral on behalf of the secured party. B. Legal considerations. Notification. While not always required prior to repossession, some states require that the debtor be notified and given an opportunity to cure the default before repossession can occur. After repossession, once the collateral is repossessed, the secured party generally must provide the debtor with an accounting of any surplus or deficiency remaining after the collateral is liquidated. 2. Sale of collateral. If repossession occurs, the next step often involves the sale of the collateral. The proceeds from the sale are used to pay off the outstanding debt. A. Types of sales. Public sale. The collateral can be sold at a public auction, which must be announced in advance to allow an opportunity for competitive bidding. Private sale. Alternatively, the collateral can be sold through a private sale. However, the UCC requires that the sale be conducted in a commercially reasonable manner, regardless of the method chosen. B. Notice requirements. Reasonable notice. The UCC requires that reasonable notice of the sale be provided to the debtor and any other secured parties. This notice should include the time and place of the sale, and in the case of a private sale, the manner of the sale. C. Use of proceeds. After the sale, the proceeds are used to cover the costs of repossession and sale, then to pay off the debt owed to the secured party. Any surplus must be returned to the debtor, while any deficiency, where the proceeds are less than the debt, may still be owed by the debtor, depending on the terms of the original agreement and local laws. 3. Strict foreclosure. Strict foreclosure involves the secured party retaining the collateral in full satisfaction of the debt. This remedy is less common and is subject to specific conditions. A. Procedure. Notification. The secured party must notify the debtor and any secondary secured parties of its intention to retain the collateral in satisfaction of the debt. Objection. The debtor or any other secured party has a right to object within a specified period. If an objection is received, the secured party cannot proceed with strict foreclosure and may need to consider selling the collateral instead. B. Legal thresholds. The use of strict foreclosure is generally contingent upon agreement or lack of timely objection, and it must be deemed commercially reasonable. This determination can depend on the type of collateral and the circumstances of the default. The creation, perfection, and enforcement of security interests are complex processes governed by detailed legal requirements. They play a crucial role in facilitating credit and financial transactions by providing a structured mechanism for risk management. By understanding these processes, parties in secured transactions can better navigate their rights and responsibilities, leading to more secure and productive financial relationships.